Well, good morning, and welcome to worship at Grace United Church in Peterborough. I'm glad you've joined us once again to celebrate our faith and to encounter the wonder of God's presence and God's love. This morning, for the very first time, we're going to be celebrating communion in a very unique way. And so I'm going to ask you, during the singing of the first hymn, if you would go and make sure that you get a couple little pieces of bread for yourself and whoever is celebrating with you, and some juice. If you don't have grape juice, then any kind of juice will do. And if you don't have any juice, plain water will happen. After all, Jesus did turn water into wine. And so we encourage you to do that as we join in communion today. And so today is the fourth Sunday of Easter. And Easter, as I've mentioned before, is a season. And so during this season, we celebrate the difference that Christ has made in what his teachings have taught us and how they shape our lives. And so we're going to talk about abundant living today. And you might think this is not a good time to talk about abundant living with all the things that are taking place. But I'd like to suggest to you that this is exactly the time when we want to talk about abundant living, and I'll have more to say later on. I'd like to invite Jill to come forward and light the Christ candle this morning. We light this candle to remind us that Christ is the light of the world and that we are called to be that light for others. And so please join with me in the call to worship, and I'll do the parts in white if you'll join me in the parts that are marked with the yellow print. This morning we gather in our homes and here at Grace to be aware of that presence that is beyond and yet within us. We are aware of the wonder and the goodness of God in the midst of our daily living. We come to deepen our faith through sharing the bread and the wine in the Lord's Supper. We receive this sacrament as a gift that nourishes each person at the depth of their being and soul. As we share the bread and wine this morning, may our spirits be lifted and deepen our faith. Thanks be to God for the mystery and wonder of communion. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Let us pray. Wondrous God, once again we have the opportunity to come before you as a worshiping community. We open ourselves to your presence and seek to connect with your spirit that nurtures and sustains us. In this ongoing time of social isolation, we miss the company of others. Give us courage and patience to continue the journey of our lives. In these moments, give us the resiliency and determination to do what is best for our community and the world. As we move through this service, where we will share the bread and wine, unite us through your Spirit and the mystery of the Lord's Supper. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, I invite you to join with us in the opening hymn. It's number 402, but the words here are on the screen. It's entitled, We Are One, and it speaks about the unity of God's people.
Thank you.
Well, this morning I want to encourage the children of our congregation and others, and I hope that you're being patient and doing all the right things at home, and that you're continuing to live through this time of the pandemic. Well, this morning I have an opportunity to talk to you about this thing, which I'm sure you know is an apple. And apples are one of the gifts that God gives us. And apples are amazing because they're so versatile. We can eat them straight like this. We can cut them in up and put them in fruit salads, or we can cook them and make all kinds of things like applesauce and apple strudel and all kinds of different things. But what I wanted to do was talk about what's inside the apple. And so to do that, I brought a knife and I'm cutting the apple in half. And as you see, there's two different things inside the apple. There is the flesh of the apple that we love to eat and taste so good. But there's also these little things called the seeds. And it's the seeds that I want to talk about this morning. Last week I talked about a carrot seed, and this week I want to talk about the apple seed. And the apple seed is a little bit bigger than the carrot seed. Matter of fact, you can see the apple seed by itself right there on the flesh of the apple. And when we plant this seed in the ground, how many trees do you think this seed will make? Well, most of you, if you said it'll make one seed or one tree, you would be right. But the question that I want you to think about is, how many apples will this one seed from a tree produce? And that's a way bigger question. Because once the seed takes root and the apple trees grow, it'll grow for many, many years, and each year it'll produce more and more apples. And there's no way you and I can figure out how many apples will be produced by this one seed. It's something that God knows. And seeds are a source of hope, and they remind us of the potential and the possibilities of the future. Because this seed doesn't produce anything right now, but in years to come, if we plant it, it'll provide many apples for a multitude of people, even through many generations. And so we plant seed as hope for the future. And this morning, I want to remind you of the hope that we all have in God. A hope for a future that is filled with possibilities and new opportunities to grow and to do things. And so in the time of this pandemic, it's important for us to be mindful and aware that although it's kind of challenging right now, that one day we're going to encounter the new hope and the new living that God has in mind for us. And hope is what sustains us through uncertain and challenging times. So I hope that you'll keep lots of hope in your life. Well, I want to show the wall this morning, and we're receiving more and more letters and prayers and pictures, and this week we got a picture that someone took up in the sky one morning, and you may not be able to see it very clearly, but they look like the fingers of God, and that's what that person kind of recognized when they took that picture. And we have pictures of hope. We have a stump in which new life is growing from them. And so I thank you for all the different prayers, and these prayers make a difference. And then we have all the rocks that we have on the table, which have come from the children of the Sunday school. And I want to do a little shout out to some of the kids that have brought in the rocks. There's Kurt and Saskia, Camden and Lachlan. There's Hadley and Zoe, and Annabelle, William, Lily and Ella, and Zoe. And so I thank you for these rocks that are beautiful and have great messages of hope and encouragement. And so I hope that as we continue to build this table and this COVID-19 wall, that it will encourage you and I, and also the people for whom we are praying. So keep them coming, and we're going to continue to build all the way through this pandemic. So thank you. And so next we have some music to listen to. It is a trio today, and it's Paul Tessier and Bruno and Jill. And they are singing a song that has been around for a while. It's a great song, entitled In His Time. So we're going to have the opportunity to share three scripture passages this morning. And the first one is from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 23. Of all the biblical passages, this is the psalm that is known most by many people. It's the 23rd psalm, or sometimes called the shepherd psalm, because it is about the shepherd who looks after the flock. And David is the author, and he was a shepherd when he was a little boy, and so he knew about all the responsibilities of a shepherd. And he wrote this psalm to remind us that God is like a shepherd to us. The second passage is from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 19 to 25. And this is a passage where Peter is talking to the early church about how to be the kind of Christians God is calling us to be. And Jill is going to read these two for us, and then after Jill, I'm going to read from John's Gospel from the 10th chapter.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
The gospel lesson comes from John's gospel, from the 10th chapter. John here tells the story about Jesus as a shepherd. And I'm beginning at verse 1, reading through to verse 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them all his own together, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Here in the readings for this day, as we have listened to these words, may we begin to understand the meaning they have for our life, and may God's name be praised forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to invite Jill to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving and amazing God, as we continue to move through the Easter season, again, we have another opportunity this morning to connect with you in prayer, not just on our own, but as a Grace United family of faith. We are truly blessed to have the technology at this time in our world so that we can worship you on Sunday mornings, pray with you, and sing with you together from the comfort of our homes. Even though we are not physically together in the sanctuary, we are still able to connect with you on a spiritual level as a congregation. Thank you for the present moment that we are experiencing right now. The opportunity to just be still and to focus our attention on you. Calm our thoughts as we take the next couple of minutes to offer up our prayers for those in need and to offer our thanks to the many blessings we encounter in our lives. As you know, Lord, the past 6, almost 7 weeks have been an interesting and challenging time in our world with the COVID-19 pandemic. There are still lots of unknowns at the moment, and we're starting to get a little bit antsy. You know, there's been a lot of waiting and a lot of wondering. And we constantly ask ourselves, what is the outcome of all this going to be? Lots of us are struggling with the uncertainty, Lord. We find ourselves getting impatient, perhaps fearful, angry, and maybe even a bit defiant. Some of us are frustrated at being told what we can and can't do. We are sick of not going out, of not being in a, quote, normal routine. And there are lots of people who are missing their grandchildren, their kids, their parents, their friends. And lots of us are missing the comfort of healthy human touch, a hug, a handshake, or even a pat on the back. And as much as we are grateful for the warm weather and sunshine, Lord, it is really hard to continue social distancing and self-isolating when it is so beautiful outside. We ask that you grant us patience, Lord, so that we can continue doing our part with a bit more ease, so that we can flatten the curve of COVID-19. As we live in a society of now, it doesn't help. So we ask that you help keep that need for instant gratification in check, so that the decisions we make are healthy for our community and our world. As you know, Lord, there are lots of people in the world, in the church, in our community, who are in need of prayer this morning. We think of people who have lost loved ones and are struggling with a broken heart and a mourning spirit. Sometimes grief can feel insurmountable, and some of us wonder, how am I ever going to continue on without that person? Place your healing hand upon them, Lord. Soothe their sadness with your gentle touch and give them strength to continue another day. We uplift the children who are missing their friends at school and the parents who are trying to keep the little ones occupied throughout the day. Provide them encouragement and assurance, and remind all of us that each one of us are just doing the best we can with what we have. We continue to pray for our healthcare workers, the doctors and the nurses who are working tirelessly around the world on a daily basis to care for the sick and help stop the spread of COVID-19. Remind all of our frontline workers who put themselves at risk every day that they are appreciated, loved, and respected for their dedication in serving the community. It must be very difficult for them. We are all in this together. May we work as a community in a healthy way, in and around the world, so that each one of us can move towards wholeness and health. Lastly, we say a special prayer for the individuals and their families who are affected by or lost their lives in the Canadian Forces helicopter tragedy this past week. Give them strength, Lord, to cope during this incredibly challenging time. Remind them that they do not walk alone. You are with them. This morning, we will have the opportunity to partake in communion. Help us to deepen our sense of connection with you and allow the experience of communion to renew our energy for living and give us the courage for the week ahead. Let us pass the hope of Christ on to others that we encounter this week. May we be people who are less judgmental, people who are kind, people who serve, and all in all, people who are Christ-like. Let us continue to use the resource of prayer during this trying time, not only to help ourselves, but to help others, and to develop a deeper connection with you. There are unbelievable possibilities that lie ahead for all people through the love of God, and for this we thank you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, and we say together the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, now we're going to have an opportunity to sing just before sermon time. And it's a song that the Worship One Band sings quite often. It's a Robin Marks song, and it's called Heaven Gates. And it's a song that talks about how Christ enabled us to connect in a spiritual way that is deeper because of his life and what he did. So join us in Heaven Gates if you have never heard it before. I hope that you enjoy as the band sings it for you. And when you feel comfortable, join along.
Thank you.
Well, this morning I want to talk about abundant life, and many people might wonder about that, particularly in the times that we're encountering right now. People often wonder, is an abundant life even possible? With all the things that are taking place now and the losses of jobs and the circumstances that we find ourselves in, people really wonder if abundant life is really even a possibility. And so this morning, I want to encourage you and to help you understand how we can move towards the experience of an abundant life. It comes from the story from John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, where John talks about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And at the very end of that passage, the 10th verse, Jesus said these words. He said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And so Jesus came, and the goal of his coming was so that you and I can encounter abundant life. And so I want to share with you some ideas around this statement. One of the challenges is many people think abundant life has to do with what we have. They believe that abundant life is about having lots of money and having large homes and fancy cars and to be able to travel wherever we want, anytime we want. And we equate abundant life with our status or the objects that we have around us. I want to suggest to you that, in fact, abundant life is encountered in a life of faith and spirituality. That we encounter abundant life not by what we have, but what we experience on the deeper level of faith and spirituality, and to know that abundant life is not dependent upon your possessions. Reverend Margaret Minix said this, "In the Christian faith, abundant life is a term used to denote fullness that is not limited to wealth or the accumulation of material possessions. In other words, a person with a low bank account or no bank account can have an abundant life because their possessions do not describe their life." It's a wonderful saying because it tries to correct a mistake that many of us make. We often think that abundance in life is all about what we have. And we look at other people and we see what they have and perhaps we don't have it. And we equate abundant life with what they possess, whether it's cars or cottages or places down south. And we think that they have the abundant life and we don't. She went on to say that an abundant life includes one's good health, a loving family, and the other things that make a person happy and free from worry. And so I want to tease this out this morning. A couple of things I want to invite you to be aware of. The first is, an abundant life is one where there is a deep connection with God or the energy of life. When we have this deep connection with that presence that is beyond us and yet within us, we become aware of the blessings that lie within our life. And it comes from not what we have, but what we experience in connection to our relationship with God. Abundant life is also where there is a positive connection with family and friends. When we have the awareness that our family are the ones who support us, encourage us, and strengthen us. And if you no longer have a family, or the family is not that supportive, then it's the blessing of friends that surround us and encourage us and remind us that we matter and that we are important to them. An abundant life is where there is a humble sense and acceptance of self. When we see ourselves in the context of a bigger picture, and we take ourselves out of the center of living and we put Christ there, and we see ourselves as a person that is in something that is way beyond ourselves, and we have this humble acceptance of who we are. And then the fourth thing is, an abundant life is one where the person knows that it's the ordinary moments of life that makes life extraordinary. So often we think the extraordinary are the big things that happen. In fact, the extraordinary things are the awareness of all the ordinary minutes and moments that we encounter that are amazing. It might be like seeing a butterfly land on a flower. It might be the phone call from a friend. This morning, as I had a hot shower, I thought how blessed I was just to be able to have hot water coming out of the faucet. And we take it for granted, but there's lots of people in the world who do not have that blessing. I was speaking with somebody this week, and we were talking about how life has changed. And the person said that now when I go for a walk, I notice things that I never noticed before. And this person was trying to help us understand that when we slow down, when we don't have a ton of things to do, and we go on the same kind of walk, we notice things that were always there, but we just didn't see them before. And they are the ordinary things that make our life extraordinary. The person who lives life abundantly is one who hears Christ's voice and walks in Christ's footsteps. And in John's gospel, in that 10th chapter, John said, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." And so being a person that lives abundantly is more than just encountering it and sitting and saying thankful. It propels us into walking in the footsteps of Christ. It helps us to listen to the voice of Christ that guides us and encourages us and invites us to see the extraordinary things of life in the everyday, ordinary moments of our living. And then finally, the person who lives life abundantly exhibits acts of love and care. And so when we hear Christ and we follow him, we put those words and into action. And we help people who are in need. We give from what we have to others that are less fortunate. And it helps us to know that we are following in the footsteps of Christ. I want to close with a story about a man who went to a variety store to get some milk. And he went to the cooler and he picked out the milk. And as he went to the counter, he noticed the person on the other side of the counter was looking out the window and had tears in their eyes. And the man who was looking out the window with the tears in his eyes turned when the man with the milk came forward and he said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I saw you looking out the window and there were tears in your eyes." And he said, what's going on? And he said, "For years, there's been an old lady who comes and sits on a bench right across from my store. And she comes with her knitting, and she knits there, and she sits for an hour. And it's a bus stop. And the buses come, and the buses go, and she never gets on. And then after the hour, she goes away." After several weeks of this taking place and me observing that, I went over one day with a cup of coffee for her, and I gave her a cup of coffee and had mentioned that I noticed that you come here every day for an hour and you sit and you wait. What's that all about? And the lady said, "Well, I come here and sit and wait because it was from this bus stop that my son left to the big city for the job that he had with his wife. And his wife was pregnant. and they're in the big city, and he's working hard, and she gave birth to a little girl. But he doesn't have enough money to come back home, and I haven't seen my grandchild. And so I come here, and I knit, and I'm knitting things for my granddaughter, waiting and hoping that one day when the bus stops, they will get off. And then the owner of the store said to the man, "Come on over to the window and tell me what you see." And the man who was buying the milk looked out the window, and there were four individuals. It was the lady and her son and her daughter-in-law, and the grandmother was holding her grandchild for the first time. And the owner, with tears in his eyes, said, "I will never forget the feeling that that brings." Well, the man who needed milk came back a couple of days later. And he said to the owner of the store, "You sent the money to her son, didn't you?" And the owner didn't say anything except, "I will never forget the feeling of seeing that woman and her grandchild together again." You see, the owner of the store understood that abundant life comes not from what you have, but what you can give away to others who are in need, and that you make a difference in their life. And because of that, abundant life is available to all of us. It does not matter what you have. It matters that you take the opportunity to see the blessing God gives you every day. And then you take the opportunity to do something with those blessings, even if it's just something kind of very easy, like calling someone or picking some flowers from your garden, giving them to someone who's in need. And when we do that, you and I encounter the wonder of an abundant life. Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, in these times of uncertainty and challenge, we don't think life is very abundant. Matter of fact, we feel ourselves poorly off because we have to social distance. But often, loving God, we do not see the abundant life around us because we're just not able to see how amazing everyday moments can be, where we share love, where we spend moments interacting with others over the phone or through writing. We pray, loving God, that you will remind us this morning that you are always near us, and that you bless us with an incredible amount of ordinary moments, that when we see them for what they are, they become extraordinary awarenesses in our life. And we realize we are blessed, and indeed, we live a life that is abundant. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, there's several announcements that I want to remind you of. These three pieces here. Stories of Faith, I hope that you had a chance to look at them. I sent them out last week. If you didn't receive a copy of those stories, please let me know and I'll make sure I send them to you. I'll send out another set of stories for this coming week tonight. Also, be mindful of the financial requirements or needs of our congregation and do what you can. And then, as always, continue to write prayers and do drawings or make pictures or do things that are creative so that our COVID-19 wall continues to grow as we move week to week. Well, we're going to celebrate communion, and here again, if you haven't got a little piece of bread and some juice in front of you, I invite you to go and get that while we sing this hymn. It's number 466. It's a communion hymn. It's called Eat This Bread. Well, I invite you to join with me in the communion litany. The table of Christ is open to all people, all who are striving to follow in the footsteps of Christ and are trying to walk in a spiritual path. And so come to this table with encouragement and strength. Come with an openness to encounter the wonder of Christ's presence in the breaking of bread. So please join me in this litany. I'll read the parts, or I'll read both parts, but I'll do the ones that are in white if you respond in yellow. May God be with us. God is here among us. Let us open our hearts to God. We open them to God and to one another. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. In the Gospel of Luke, the story is told of the risen Lord who was at table with his disciples at Emmaus. Jesus took some bread, blessed it and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. This morning, we gather here and in each of our homes to break bread and share the wine. We proclaim the unity that transcends space and time as we share this meal together to know that Christ is near. Let us remember together the vision of God's reign shown to us in Jesus at the table. He shared food with his followers and friends, with the faithful and unfaithful, and with the 12 disciples in the upper room. On the night before he died, he had supper with his companions. He took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he passed it among them, saying, "Drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Through this loaf and cup, Jesus lives within us. In word and deed, Jesus lives among us. Send your Holy Spirit, O God, on us in what we do, that as we break bread and drink wine, we may be united with Christ. He is in us and we in him, that we who are many may be one in him. We are mindful of our brothers and sisters in need. We remember all those with whom your feast is shared at home. We pray for all who are in sorrow or in pain, for all who experience the stress of social isolation from family and friends, We are mindful of all who are alone, all who are fearful, anxious, and depressed, in those who are oppressed and hungry and forgotten, all whom the world counts as last and least. We pray for your church in this time of pandemic, that all its members will find strength in you. Remind us once again that we are not alone. May we find greater strength in the bread and wine in which we will share. Enable us to be strong in faith and love, that we may become truly human, as Christ was truly human. We remember Jesus' death. We proclaim Christ risen. We await the full revelation of his love incarnate. And so this morning, we have the opportunity to celebrate communion. And just as Jesus broke bread with his disciples, we too break this bread this morning, reminding us that Christ is the bread of heaven. And we pour some wine into these cups, reminding us that Jesus and his sacrifice and life given, his blood is the energy of our life and the strength in our living. The table is ready, so come. Behold, the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, given for us. The blood of Christ, his life force given that we might have new life. Let us join together in prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the opportunity to break wine and share the bread of Christ in very unique ways this morning. Normally we'd be gathered here in the sanctuary, but we are united by this sacrament in all the homes in which it is being taken this morning. May the bread and wine of Christ encourage us, strengthen us, and give us the ability to live life to the fullest. Enable us to see your presence and to feel that presence in the midst of this time, and to remind us once again that we are not alone. Be near us and bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so we're going to close with singing one verse of the hymn 466, Eat This Bread.
Eat
And so thank you for being part of our worship this morning. And my hope is that as we have spent this time in worship this morning in various places, that you will have encountered the peace and the presence of God's love and care, and the encounter of the living Christ in the breaking of the bread and wine. And as you go from this place this morning, may you be aware of the abundant life that is offered for you, so that you might experience the wonder of each moment. And now may the blessing of God and the presence of Christ be near you and around you, to help you know that you are not alone, and encourage and strengthen you to live out your faith. May the Spirit around you and within you hold you and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen. And so I invite you to join in our choral blessing.